From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, as the legislature wrapped up the 2016 session, just two ethics proposals remain. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on the end of session. And federal, state, and local officials update residents of Newburgh about PFOS water contamination. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. What began in January as an ambitious reform package to address a wave of corruption at the Capitol proposed by Governor Andrew Cuomo dwindled to just two proposals by the time the session closed. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt takes a look at what happened to reform.
Back in January, Governor Cuomo proposed a number of changes to react to a wave of corruption that led to the convictions of the two former leaders of the legislature on felony corruption charges.
Recent acts have undermined the public's trust in government. Public trust is essential for government to function at the level we need. I have a number of recommendations that will be in the budget that I believe will help restore the public trust.
Among them, limiting outside income to levels similar to those in Congress, who can earn around just 20% of their total salary in other paid endeavors. The abuse of millions of dollars in outside income were key factors in the trials against former Speaker Sheldon Silver and former Senate Leader Dean Skelos, who are now facing prison terms. Cuomo also wanted to close a campaign finance loophole that allows donors to give unlimited amounts of money to candidates by setting up multiple limited liability companies. But both of those items dropped out of the budget, and they were not part of the end-of-session agreement either. Cuomo and lawmakers did begin a process to rescind the pensions of legislators convicted of a felony. That was a concept they took credit for over a year ago, but had never actually passed the legislation. They will require more financial disclosure for lobbyists and political consultants and regulate independent expenditures allowed under the U.S. Supreme Court Citizens United decision. The governor and legislative leaders skipped the traditional end-of-session news conference and announced the deal in a press release instead, avoiding any questions about the demise of the proposals to make bigger changes to address corruption. But minority party members were not hesitant to speak up. Senate Democratic leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, speaking at around 3 a.m. Saturday morning on the Senate floor, says there's still much more work to do.
These reforms today, while a good step, don't address the scandals that have rocked this building.
In the Assembly, Republican Andrew Goodell from Jamestown says the new regulations of super PACs don't address the heart of what many believe to be the problem in state government, donors giving money to politicians and expecting favors in return.
Pay to play, you know, where a lobbyist is seeking our vote or a contractor who has business with the state seeking our vote, not touched at all. And so while I appreciate the discussion about the need to limit big money from corporations, we are completely ignoring all the other corrupting funds that dwarf that money and come from other sources.
The U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, as well as the State Attorney General, are investigating Cuomo's economic development programs over pay-to-play allegations. Assemblyman Goodell did offer rare praise for Democratic Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie over the passage of the pension forfeiture measure, saying he wished, though, it had a broader scope. In order for lawmakers to lose their pensions after a felony conviction, the measure will need to be approved by the next consecutively elected legislature in January. So the measure to change the Constitution could come before voters as early as November of 2017. Meanwhile, government reform groups who seem to have little influence to change the system are now urging voters to not reward state politicians by reelecting them in November. Barbara Bartoletti with the League of Women Voters spoke in the noisy final days of the session when it became clear that reform measures would fall short.
Make sure that some of these people don't come back next January, and maybe that will change the culture of corruption here in Albany.
While polls show that 97% of the public this session wanted ethics reform, around the same number, more than 90% of legislators are routinely reelected to their jobs. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
U.S. Senator Charles Schumer visited Albany Medical Center this week, where he called for $1.9 billion in emergency funding to fight the Zika virus. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas was there.
Calling for an aggressive campaign against Zika, the New York Democrat says the situation has reached a critical level. Schumer says the House only approved $600 million to fight Zika, some of that money taken from the Ebola prevention program.
And you say, well, it just affects South America or the southern U.S. No, by summertime, the two mosquitoes that can carry Zika, Aedes aegypti and Aedes tiger, can get as far north as the capital region and even further north.
Albany Medical Center CEO Jim Barba categorizes Zika as a very pressing public health issue.
Zika, unlike some of the other terrible viruses with which we've dealt in the past, HIV, AIDS, etc., does not present in a person affected in a very serious way. So it may be that those who have been affected don't even know about it. But it has a profoundly deleterious effect on any woman who is pregnant, on the fetus.
Albany County Health Commissioner Dr. Elizabeth Whalen says in recent weeks, scientists have confirmed that the Zika virus is the cause of the devastating birth defect microcephaly.
There's currently no treatment and no vaccine available for Zika virus.
Whalen believes formulating a response on the local level should be a top priority. Barba adds that after 3 months of intense research on Zika,
we still can't say whether there is any time during the pregnancy when it is safe for the fetus.
Schumer says more than 800 Americans are infected with the virus.
In the state of New York, 180 cases of Zika confirmed just the other day, and they're popping up across New York State, upstate and down. Last week, it was revealed that an individual in Albany County and another in Schenectady County were diagnosed with Zika.
Whalen counts 19 pregnant women in that statewide count. She says a fully funded federal initiative will enable local health departments to enhance virus readiness and response capacity to limit potential clusters in the United States.
National funding is essential and will pave the way to continue urgently important scientific work, including accelerated efforts around prevention and control of Zika virus.
Schumer says Congress should approve the funding now before the epidemic spreads and more cases show up in the United States come mosquito season. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
Listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. During an informational forum in Newburgh, New York, about PFOS contamination found in the city's drinking water supply, federal, state, and local officials updated the public this week on actions being taken. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn has more.
The public learned of the PFOS contamination in early May after testing in Silver Stream and Washington Lake, the main source of drinking water for Newburgh. the city quickly switched to a different water source, Brown's Pond, which it has since depleted. Governor Andrew Cuomo's Water Quality Rapid Response Team and the New York State Departments of Environmental Conservation and Health have been working with city and county officials and have committed to fund the city's hookup to the Catskill Aqueduct for the water supply amid the design and construction of a filtration system, which it also will fund. Newburgh Mayor Judy Kennedy is breathing a sigh of relief.
I'm so glad that the state is stepping up and helping us. I mean, if it weren't, I don't know what we would be doing, because there's just no way that the city could take that cost on. We just couldn't do it because our citizens can't take any more taxes.
The state also plans to upgrade pipes, valves, and other components of the city's existing connections to Brown's Pond and the Catskill Aqueduct to ensure that Newburgh can more efficiently draw from these backup sources. Martin Brand is DEC Region 3 director. He says the investigation continues into the source of contamination.
The source of the PFOS contamination in the city of Newburgh water supply has not been fully determined. However, we've been sampling since March. We've taken samples in surface water and sediment and stormwater and drainage systems in the watershed and the tributaries to Lake Washington, and we are we have enough data to indicate that certainly the Air National Guard base and perhaps the commercial side of the airport, Stewart International Airport, are contributing some of the contamination to that watershed and that drinking water supply system.
Environmental Protection Agency Regional Administrator Judith Enck commends city officials for having acted quickly. She underscores three aspects of the contamination issue.
The residents of Newburgh deserve clean and healthy water every single day. We have that today. We want to make sure that continues. Second, we all have to work together to find the source of the pollution and cut that off. Just switching water supplies is not a long-term sustainable solution. We want to find out, where is this chemical coming from? How do we stop it? And how do we make sure the polluters pay the full cost of cleanup? And then third, EPA is always concerned about the Hudson River, and we want to make sure that this contamination is not diverted from going to a particular water source and then heading toward the Hudson.
Dan Shapley is Water Quality Program Manager for Riverkeeper, which has called on state officials to take certain actions. One concerns Recreation Pond at Stewart Air National Guard Base, where samples taken in March showed very high levels of PFOS.
So there's a pond that is the major source identified so far. There's a source behind that source that the DEC is attacking and controlling, and that's critically important. In the meantime, we believe that there should be a interim remedial measure taken on that pond to stop that pond from discharging to the stream that goes into the drinking water reservoir.
In a letter responding to Riverkeeper, DEC and DOH commissioners wrote, quote, "Simply prohibiting said discharge without a thorough investigation of impacts is not feasible and potentially impacts other areas, including drinking water sources," end quote. Nevertheless, DEC officials stress that their investigation to identify and eliminate contamination sources includes addressing discharges from Recreation Pond.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, the last time we spoke, we were still awaiting the end of session. That occurred early in the morning last Saturday, and what didn't come out of it is probably more interesting than what was in it. To that end, Governor Andrew Cuomo said this week, it may be up to the voting public to get ethics reform into law in New York.
You know, the New York Times really castigated Cuomo, who said it was one of the most productive sessions in history. They really beat him up. That's the New York Times. The chutzpah, the unbelievable gall to say that it was productive when everybody had their eye on ethics, whether these people were going to continue to rip it off. There are good legislators, and I've heard from some of them, who are saying, why are you blaming us? Because you're enablers, as Preet Bharara says, because you're voting for the people who won't let it happen. And don't kid yourself. If there's a lack of ethics reform, it's because there's no taste for it. I mean, we have a lot of legislators Some of them have outside employment. People go to people, to an insurance guy or to a real estate guy or to the partners of a lawyer. We all know this, and it really has to stop. Sooner or later, it will. But right now, the incumbents will not let it happen. They vote for leaders. They tell the leaders, you go out there and make sure it doesn't happen, and we're going to be pious and clean ourselves. So ethics reform, what, after 2 years, maybe if the electorate votes for it, which they will, of course, will take the pensions away from convicted felons. Big deal. That's not what ethics reform is all about.
Water contamination. We've been talking about this, and the problem seems to keep growing. And the story this week in the program coming up from our Allison Dunn about Newburgh and PFOS contamination. We've also heard about PFOA, lead in the water in schools. Something that did pass the budget this year was to require, finally some say, the schools to test for lead. But now New York environmental regulators are looking statewide for potential sites for groundwater contamination.
Well, once the genie is out of the bottle, and that genie is out of the bottle, we now know that our drinking water in some cases is not safe, that our kids are going to have to ingest lead and other things, chemicals that have been coming out of factories to do coat pans and things like that, but in great concentrations can really kill you, can really hurt you over the long run. So right now, there is a push on to make sure that the water is tested, and it should be. There are those who don't want to do it in some school districts and other places because it's going to cost too much. Sorry.
The issue of the Zika virus all the way here in the New York, including Charles Schumer standing in Albany on Monday to call for $1.9 billion in emergency funding to fight the virus.
Well, yes, and it's getting to be very, this is a very serious disease. There's a report on the BBC this very morning that suggests that the abortion rate in South America is going up exponentially. And the reason for that is that people have been told this is not a good time to have a child. That's simple. Don't have a child right now. So instead, some people get pregnant and they want abortions because they don't want to raise a child who has a severe disorder. And I mean, I can't blame them for that. But that virus is coming north. I've had people say to me, oh, it'll never reach New York. It will reach New York. It is going to reach New York. And therefore, Schumer's right. We have to spend the money we need to do the research to put a stop to this.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. As the New York State Legislature closed its session last week, among the legislation it approved is a bill that implements a constitutional amendment vote.
Landowners in Racket Lake in the Central Adirondacks have been fighting to obtain clear title to their land for decades. In 2013, voters approved the state granting landowners clear title in exchange for lands being added to the Adirondack Forest Preserve. Protect the Adirondacks Executive Director Peter Bauer notes that enabling legislation needed approval due to the complexity of the situation.
The historic record was very difficult, and a lot of materials were lost. There had been 10 lawsuits in the last 100 years to prove that these were in fact private lands or to prove that these were in fact public forest preserve lands. And those were the easiest lawsuits to resolve. But yet all of these properties had been developed. So in the end, trying to resolve this to provide clear title in a way that provided the forest preserve with a net benefit with a purchase of additional lands was really the best way to try and resolve this long-standing intractable problem.
Adirondack Mountain Club Executive Director Neil Woodworth explains that after voters authorized the constitutional amendment, the subsequent enabling legislation would take some time to complete.
When the voters approved this resolution, we didn't know at that time the exchange parcel. The legislature had to determine whether or not the new acreage intended for transfer to the Adirondack Forest Preserve was a net benefit for the Forest Preserve.
The state will relinquish any claim to the disputed properties. The landowners agreed to pay a fee and percentage of their assessment into a fund to obtain the property that will be added to the Forest Preserve. The nearly $631,000 allowed the Open Space Institute to obtain for the state the 300-acre Marion River Carry. Woodworth says it will create unique opportunities for paddlers.
It's kind of the Suez Canal of Adirondack canoe routes, the Marion River Carry, because it's the vital connection between Blue Mountain Lake and the rest of the Racket River voyage up through Long Lake and Forked Lake up to the Saranac or Tupper Lake. Not only is it a visually beautiful property, but it's a key link. I call it the Suez Canal because without that parcel, that 100-mile trip would not be possible.
Racket Lake landowner Carolyn Gurdon worked with legislators and environmental and advocacy groups to resolve the property disputes. She was in the gallery when the legislature approved the final bill.
I remember the fall before we left camp. We're water access only, so we don't go up in the winter. Saying to the camp, which sounds kind of silly, we'll bring you back clear title, hopefully, next year. We had people that didn't even know. The deeds are regular deeds. There's nothing on them that says the state has a claim to your title. We had several people who didn't have a clue that had contested property. It was a shock to people. But we couldn't have done it without the people of New York who voted 72% for the constitutional amendment.
When the land replacement transfers are completed, New York State will issue a letter to landowners stating they relinquish any claim of title to their property.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That number, 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1626 or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.